favor. I'm not quite sure how this issue is going to run. As such, it's definitely not going to be me giving a presentation, because most of the stuff is already out there, most of the stuff you may have read. So I'm just going to keep talking through various things that came up over the last couple of months in regards to multi-coach. If you have any questions, just ask. If you have any hints or specifically knowledge that might be interesting, just tell us. Especially if you know about certain devices that may or may not come out in the next couple of months that we may not have thought about yet. I've heard already of some devices that we didn't discuss in our workshop, which would be quite interesting. Actually, can you show us the panel in the view?
Yes.
A little bit of just additional thing. Before XDS started, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we had a multi-touch workshop at ENET, where you guys had the demo yesterday, for those of you who were in. And it was Stefan organized it, so great, thank you to that. Stefan is the author of a lot of the multi-touch kernel drivers. It was Benjamin was the one who wrote the FFF multi-touch input driver, which kind of kicked off much of the discussion in regards to multi-touch that we have now. So although the bits actually kind of emerged, it started the discussion to what we have now. Chase was there. I don't think anyone else is coming to be used. Yeah, Pin was there as well, but she's not like it. These guys, they can make. yeah, you fell off there. You weren't there, but yeah, also very multi-touch. So the main problem with multi-touch is because it's so different to pointers. A couple of the first attempts that I made 2 years ago were essentially trying to squash multi-touch events into something that is essentially a pointer event. So although it had a couple of more information, essentially what I tried to emulate was pointer events. And that doesn't really work because we don't have any state, and the hardware information that we get is ridiculously nothing. There's so much context associated with multi-touch or touch in general that we don't get from the hardware that we couldn't find a way to squash it into read point events. Essentially what the current thing is that we're just going to add another couple of events, how many is still in dispute. And those events are essentially not quite out of hand, but they live parallel to button events and keyboard events, and live their own life on the side. So that it doesn't affect legacy applications. So if you have a core application, it doesn't really affect your multi-touch device and the other way around. The problem is we still need point emulation for something, so that's going to be a tricky one to sort out. So you still want, you can just use one finger, you still want that one finger to look like a pointer. Otherwise, you could use your standard applications with it. So at the moment, the current proposal is that we add two or three new events to the server, either a state event, that is essentially the down or up event, depending on the flag, and you have to move events, or we just add three events, so one down, one move, one up event. And every time you put put any touch on the device, you're going to get that sequence of events. The interesting thing about touch is that the sequence you get from the hardware is always the same anyway, quite similar to button, it's quite similar to mask. You'll always get a down event first, then you get a number of move events, and then you get the up event. So that sequence, I think, in the kernel documentation is described as init, move, and destroy, where the move phase is optional for tapping, for example. So the big thing, though, is that unlike other devices, especially with all the MPX work, we try to split it up into multiple devices. What we're going to have with touch is we're going to have multiple touch streams simultaneously from one device. So if I put five fingers down, we'll get five of these sequences from the same device. We're not going to split the device up into five devices just for that, because it wrecks how it would the device hierarchy. It's an extremely expensive operation, because every time you add a new device to the server, you have to send an event to every single client, and in the flying cars, flying pigs future, every single client understands those events and listens to XR2. So suddenly, every time you do that, every time you split the device up, every client will reconfigure itself for this new device. And this is prohibitively expensive for something as short-lived as a touch. So we decided, okay, we're just going to leave the touch as it is as a physical device, so you're going to see one device in the server, but you're going to see multiple input streams from the same device. Right? Makes sense so far? So this is basically, this is both the biggest change and the biggest problem. The biggest change because, well, it's a novel approach to input processing. And internally, implementation-wise, we probably have to treat them any differently anyway. But the biggest problem we have with that is the graph semantics suddenly become really difficult. Because you can have the problem that you have a client that doesn't know that the device is a touch device, and suddenly it tries to put a pointer grab on this device, and what are you going to do with the touch input if there is a pointer grab on the device, especially if you have poor emulation done as well. So at the moment, the current proposal is that pointer grabs and touch grabs are separate. So even if you grab a device, a multi-touch device, other clients will still get multi-touch input. Likewise, if you grab the multi-touch or the touch events, you can still get pointer input from the same device. Because there's no reason, that's the other thing that just complicates the whole thing. There's no strict division of multi-touch device and pointer devices. You can have a physical device that has both touch input and access and buttons and keys. I don't know of any physical input that actually does this. Do you know of any device that has? That has both touch and mouse-like capabilities?
Magic Mouse?
Of course, yeah, Magic Mouse. Magic Mouse is both a mouse device and a touch screen at the same time.
Either remember, don't ever ask examples to us. I mean, negative examples because...
No, actually, I know there is devices because the Wacom tablet, to some extent, has it as well with the Wacom tablets and like a ring that's exported as an absolute axis. So it's both the touch device and the pointer device at the same time. And that gets really confusing because then you can grab a device as a pointer device and you get some events from it, but the touch event still does something else. Those semantics are tricky to say the very bit, the very least. At the moment we have two different proposals floating around. I sent that one out 2 months ago or something. That's gone through a couple of revisions since, and we've discussed that with the QT guys up there, and they seem to be reasonably happy with it. The other one is Daniel has a proposal as well, which is luckily about 80 to 90% overlapping with mine, so there's definitely some common ground there anyway. The big difference is Daniel's patches have two events, so there's a state event for down or up, and I have three events, so I have down, move, and up. A couple of the minor semantics are different, but our biggest problem at the moment is sorting out active, passive, and implicit passive drives. Because you get into some very interesting things, because all the touches will require touch ID. That's another bit of information that may be interesting. If the device does not do hardware tracking, we don't care. It doesn't exist for us. So we require that touches will be tracked. Whether that's done in software on a layer between the kernel and the IP server, there's one such program called NTDev from Henry Rudberg, who was also the guy who wrote the multi-touch protocol in the kernel. So whether that's done on the software layer below the IP server or in the hardware directly, we don't care. But hardware that doesn't do tracking doesn't exist, right? We don't care about it. So the interesting thing with graphs is that we have to kind of cater for all the use cases that we know now, plus the use cases that we will see with multi-touch environments in the presence of multiple input streams from a single device. So I'll give you one example. At the moment, passive graphs are used that when you click into a window, the window manager essentially gets the event. Window manager brings the window forward, and then the event is replayed on the actual window, so the click still goes through to the window, although the window manager has done stuff in between. So the same is possible for single touch. It gets a little bit tricky when you start thinking about 3-4 touches, because you can have a client. You have to be able to selectively grab each touch. So although you only have one physical device, you have to be able to say, I want to grab this touch, I want to grab that touch, I want to grab that touch. You can hold them back indefinitely, in the extreme case, on a selective basis. So you can say, okay, I just got the passive grab on all three fingers, and I'm going to replay the first one and replay the third one, so they go through to the client, but I'm still going to hold back the middle finger for whatever reason, because I want to just change the protection, which makes it really confusing both to the client because they get the events out of order. So you can actually get a touch event that has been generated after another one, but you haven't gotten the middle one yet. And it's really tricky to not lose events here. Especially because clients always have to be aware of the tracking ID. At the moment, the current consensus is that we will be reusing tracking IDs, simply because otherwise we're eventually going to run out of numbers, even though you're probably only going to run out of numbers after 3 years. But reusing tracking IDs makes it really tricky when you start freezing and replaying graphs, because you might give tracking ID 1 to this finger, but it's currently held up in the window manager. And then you lift the finger, so you stop using that tracking ID, you put another finger down, gets the same tracking ID, but the event is still held in the window manager. So by the time you reply it, suddenly you have two touches with the same tracking ID. So we need to kind of figure that out, how to avoid that situation. Right. Anyone just follow me?
There are some generator of random numbers for the TCP stack or things like that, but that need those kind of properties. We need to reuse the numbers, but not to close it.
Well,
there are probably code that you can...
A lot of the problems with the reusing the tracking IDs are somewhat theoretical anyway, because we have a card 32 for the tracking ID. So if you just keep increasing it, it's the likeliness that we're ever going to... Like, unless someone actually holds the finger down for 3 years while doing this, and eventually it wraps over and you start reusing it. But I'd still rather have a solution. I'd rather not have broken behavior, known broken behavior in the protocol. We already have enough unknown broken behaviors in the protocol, or unintended anyway. So I'd rather get that sorted at some point. We've had quite a fair bit of discussions as well about gestures. For some reason, for better or worse, as soon as you bring up multi-touch, people start talking and thinking about gestures. Whether that's, as I said, for better or worse. There's plenty of use cases for multi-touch where you do not need gestures. And even more so, there's plenty of use cases for multi-touch where you want gestures, but it's a second priority object, where most of the interaction you may do with the screen is not actually a gesture, because you're moving things around and you consider tapping as a gesture. You tap and so on, but those typical gestures that most people start thinking about, like pinching, they're kind of like a side object in some special cases. So one of the big dangers, and I think I pointed out to you as well, is that we should fix multi-touch and then look at gestures rather than trying to get gestures done in all cases, because focusing too much on gestures blocks us from doing real multi-touch. And while that is nice now, because we all want to be like the iPhone, I think in 5 years down the road, when we have really multi-touch applications, focusing too much on gestures may hurt us quite badly. So the agreement we had, and Chase is going to talk about that later, I guess, is that we're not going to do gesture recognition in the server. The server essentially just takes the data from the kernel, picks up which client you can send it to, sends it to that client, and gets on with life. And the client is then responsible for the actual interpretation of those gestures. There's a couple of disadvantages of that approach that you wouldn't have if you have the gestures in the server, but I think there's the possibility of introducing additional delays when processing certain gestures, but I think they can be worked around in the user interface easier than the problems we have with gesture recognition in the server. I can show you the protocol spec, it's not going to be the most exciting one. But I don't know if it's Daniel and I see it. Does he listen? Anyone? Hasn't spoken up yet, has he? So one of the biggest differences between Daniel's proposal and mine is that graphs are much more lightweight in his proposal, but it currently lacks the ability to actively grab a touch point, which is a bit of a problem. The thing he's got going for is that he claims he has an implementation of everything already, which I certainly can't say. This is one of the biggest problems with multi-touch, is we have a proposal out there, we have two proposals out there, but the implementation so far, well, remains to be seen. The little bit of code I've written was exclusively protocol headers. A little bit of library work. There's a couple of other things that, yeah, I'm running out of ideas of what to talk about now. Are there any questions? Maybe I have to say something that is.
Do any sort of touch devices support proximity, or is that just the styluses?
Do you want to answer that?
Well, of course, there's the Wacom devices that do proximity, but calling them touch depends on what you think.
Okay.
I've heard about, I mean, people from Cyprus have told me that they have hovering. I don't know if they measure the distance, but they can tell you that the finger is around. Haven't seen the device yet. They told me they were going to send me one, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Would that require like another event?
I don't know. There's two parts to that question. There's two parts to that answer. The Surface Titan, for example, does hover as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you get those, because it's a light-based device, so you will get reflections of your hand even if you're not touching it. That can be regarded as hover. It's just a lot of basic things and you can filter it out. So at the moment, a lot of the design, both in the kernel and of the current protocol spec, essentially treats multi-touch as a single input. Sorry, as a single input point, rather than as the area that it should essentially be. Mainly because most of the devices don't really give that much data anyway, other than the point.
Mm-hmm.
The kernel supports an ellipsis with an orientation, and we, by definition, just support that as well. We just forward the axis anyway. So if you put your finger down, you'll get the ellipses of the touch, not just a single point. As soon as you start talking about hovering, that approach doesn't really scale anymore, because what you're going to see if you do that, you're going to see the ellipses, but you're going to see a non-elliptical shape of the hover, and that might even change in intensity depending on where it is. So suddenly it becomes, are you going to split those up into separate touch points? Or are you going to have like another hovering boundary on top of that ellipsis, or are you just going to send down the bitmap data? I don't have an answer to that yet. Eventually, I think bitmap devices are on the horizon, like devices that will actually give you the full data. If you put your hand down, you will be able to see the whole trace, like as a bitmap, hard, 8-bit, whatever. So I think we should start worrying about those now, even though I haven't actually seen any of these devices. But any light-based device could do it right now if the library is adjusted accordingly. So that's a massive problem because the kernel doesn't do it yet either. And we essentially somehow have to base our design on what the kernel gives us in some way anyway. I don't have a good answer, but it only came up in the last 2 days, so I need to start thinking about that.
It sounds like there's a second aspect to this question. It's what does the start event or press event become? When do you send the start event? Is it when you detect that the finger is hovering, or is it when it touches?
Yeah, good point.
I think that depends on the device. You know, the device reports in products, so you can report it's in products, it's not touching. If the device cannot tell, if the device gave you, oh, I didn't touch it, then software or the names
so far, it reminds me that so far in Wacom tablets, and that's those button touch, button tools, something, the solution used so far for Wacom tablets is to sort of partially ignore the hovering, just use it to gather the information we need about what type of tool it is.
No, we use hover.
You use hover?
Yeah, because you can move the cursor when you're not actually touching the screen. So we treat.
And how do? But you use that internally. You don't transfer that to the client.
No, you will get proximity event for.
You get proximity.
Even a client will know whether the device is touching or hovering.
So
unfortunately, and this is my fault. If so, two lots of proximity events, because I thought we could just add as another axis. That's wrong. So that's one of the things I need to add for 2.1. It's just a new event type for proximity in and out, because it is not the same as a button button. So we do, like as soon as you come in range, your client will get a proximity event, and as you touch, you get the button press event. And Wacom also gives a distance, so in between you will get the axis data for the distance. So.
So I guess we need to, as soon as there's a device that does this, we need to provide you with an in-range or something event.
Yes.
And then,
yeah.
And then it becomes your problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing, probably the only event type that we can reuse in an event structure is the proximity in for a touch. Is probably going to be the same, has the same information as proximity in for a button press, depending on how the bitmap devices work out. Because if we just squeeze it into the same event, puts a whole lot of contextual handling in the client again. But that's the implementation features. So. But yeah, I think the biggest problem with Hover is that once you start thinking about Hover, you really have to start thinking about non-elliptical touch points as well. Because, as I said, this will give you the Hover information for the whole game and one elliptical touch point. The other thing is, and that only started, gave the talk on Tuesday evening, and there was one comment by, I can't remember his name, the guy who gave the introduction. First one from
Stefan, just like Stefan. Everybody.
So from a guy named Blockova named Stefan, and he started talking about whole name gestures. So far, I at least haven't really thought about them, because every time we talk about gestures, you think about things. But especially the research, I know that one of the papers I read quite early on was from 2003, where people just started interpreting how we can deal with gestures like this. And suddenly the gesture range you have expands massively, because it is very different doing this, doing this, or even just doing this. And contextually it's very different as well. Like, it's actually one of the few intuitive gestures again. If I do this on a table, most of you will probably agree that this is some sort of swiping, erasing gesture, moving everything out of the way. So suddenly we have another couple of intuitive gestures that we need to worry about. The problem is some of those gestures cannot be done on some devices. So the Magic Trackpad, if you guys have seen it, Chase has one here. It's like this new Apple trackpad. It does gestures because it does full multi-touch, but it's too small to actually do full hand gestures. So if I put my hand on there, you're only going to see the palm outline. So suddenly you offload so much context again into the client, where they have to worry about what can the device actually do in terms of gestures, and it just becomes a major headache.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to raise. It's not the future, it's right now. I'm in touch with a guy who is building that sort of device and have asked me for help to implement something on Linux based on this. And we're going to be hit, next week by this.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest problems we have at the moment is that light-based tables already do pretty much anything except from pressure. They do pretty much everything that we will see in the next year or two, is my guess. I'm not a hardware manufacturer, so maybe someone has something up their sleeve. But every time we talk about the devices we've been dealing with and the devices we've been playing with, there's never a light table included in those. So I think one of the things we just have to get done is just build our own FTIR tables, because they're the easiest ones to build.
We don't need to. I think we can get in touch with that guy in Argentina, and it's based on FTIR, but it's flat. I mean, you don't need a camera. Apparently, he's able to make them right now.
Because they do hover, they do full bitmaps. Depending on the resolution of the camera you have underneath, you can do insane things like fingerprint recognition as you touch. I don't have that much money to install that many cameras on the main. But theoretically it's possible if you put enough high-res cameras on the main, and so on and so forth. So I think one of the things we need to do, the people working in it, is just start dealing with the devices that are really pushing the boundary at the moment, rather than the devices that we can obtain easily. Because that will influence the design, and I dare say that the current design is certainly influenced by us having mostly bought the light-based tables. Not out of defiance, more out of just
thinking about it. And eventually we'll end up with some client wanting to reuse the gray bitmap, the fixed map from the device directly. Because my client wants to give a map or something.
That's the next thing. Once you start thinking about bitmaps, and you suddenly run into the issue, how are you going to send that to the client? Are you going to send it as bitmap? No, because then you have to start thinking, okay, we need to send it as RGBA data, because that's what we get from the hardware. And then graph delivery gets really interesting, because if a client holds up a couple of events in the X server that are full RGBA data for a massive high resolution device, you're going to run out of memory very, very, very quickly. It's like holding back an HD stream in the server just because a client can't make up what they want to do with it, and you hold the pipe multiple, and you're good. So you're going to run into some interesting issues with that again. Which, by the way, is also where I don't think we're going to have multi-touch by the time one team comes around. Just in case someone was hoping for that, it's not going to happen. One of them is, I think, the most optimistic guess at the moment. And even that depends much on how much we can actually get done. Anything else come on the workshop? Yeah, one of the things Stefan mentioned, and that's just unrelated to the actual technology, is that because he's been working on the multi-touch displays for I don't know how many years now.
Real ones?
Yeah.
It's only 5 years because they didn't exist before.
Yeah, so but 5 years.
Multiple mice, 15.
Yeah. So Stefan said the tendency, everyone wants multi-touch, but no one actually wants multi-touch.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to explain that in better ways.
Well, it's a matter of whom you're working for. I run a company, or I own a company that sells surface computing solutions. And originally, 5 years ago, we were working with the R&D departments in big companies. So we used lots of multi-touch. And now that the company is getting more successful, we're working on real products, products that are spread out in shops, stores, that sort of things. And people, the guys we're talking to are marketing people, salesmen, and they want the systems to be usable in a few seconds by their customers. And it ends up, I don't know if that's going to last, but for the last 6 months or a year, it sounds like every application we're designing is 90% single touch, plus some pinch, some zoom, and that's it. So, and maybe it's only transitory, but the wider your public is, the smaller the number of touches. And that may be transitory, but it's something we are observing right now. I don't know what to do with that piece of information.
Well, the interesting bit of that information is that even if it takes a bit longer to get multi-touch implemented properly, people who need it right now can still emulate it to a multi-pointer and get most of the way, at least get targeted applications done. You guys do it in Qt, I think. Yeah, so, and it gets the job done. It's not nice. It only works for special use cases. It doesn't work for the general desktop. But we don't have this massive pressure that, oh my god, the world is going to end because we don't have multi-touch, which I'm sure it won't. And I think the sun will just rise tomorrow, whether we have multi-touch or not. Looking at the weather, it might not rise properly tomorrow. Anything else?
Well, I have a small technical question. You're probably using to implement a lot of more input device properties in the EDM driver for these things.
I'm not sure how many properties
I'm currently a bit annoyed by the fact that there are some general use properties like the calibration data which are named by the driver, and since in the BSD world we are not using the EDM driver, we are just reinventing the new different names. But then you cannot have generic application that will calibrate the screen. It would be nice to either to move some of the properties defined with generic names into the X server, or find something that doesn't have an EDF prefix in the name, and so people can reuse the same names with the same IDs in other drivers, using the same semantics, of course.
Yeah. One of the things that is holding that move back at the moment is, and Keith is going to be delighted when he hears that, is that the drivers are still outside of the server.
See, that's a problem.
If the drivers were compiled to serve, it would be much easier to just have that generically, because then you can start, it's easy to rely on it. So it's all the same with Tiago's and Daniel's threads, where yes, we can add them to the server, but because the drivers are outside and have to check the server version, it takes a long time before you can rely on something. And it's annoying. It's just I haven't answered the response to the case. I haven't sorted out whether this is a short term issue that's going to be, you know, it's a problem this year because we're doing a lot of refactoring, or whether it's going to be something that's just going to be annoying ongoing and a problem. So I haven't quite balanced that up. But yeah, you're right. A lot of the problems that we have in FF should not be in FF. I've been looking at fixing some of that. The problem is some of the properties that are in FF at the moment can be properties, but if we think about moving them to the server, you realize there should not be properties in the server. They should really be part of a protocol spec, because properties are good for tweaking things once and just leaving it. But there's a couple of things where as soon as you start actually interacting with them, properties are not the right method. So you really want a defined protocol on the wire. And you know, as soon as you start about protocol design, you've got this whole pile of just realize that what you can do easily in one driver. It's a massive, massive amount of work. So yeah, we're running, we're just going to be short of time. Any other comments? Yeah, good thing of the multi-type workshop that where you spend essentially 2 days being in violent agreement of everything. So it was quite interesting, that like a half an hour long discussion just to realize that we're arguing for the same thing. So.
Because we agreed on the short term, perhaps not on the long term.
Yeah, the long term is something I tried anymore. Well, the really long term. I'm looking mainly at the next 2 to 5 years, I think. Your basic ideas is gonna, many of your ideas are gonna take hold.
I'm saying you will be hit before that.
Yeah, we've been hit by many problems in the last couple of years as well. So, timeline, I can't really give you one at the moment. Jay said he's gonna have after, what's it called, Maverick is released, he's gonna have a couple of weeks for you to work on it. Daniel seems to be busy working on it. So there's definitely going to be some implementation coming soonish. That doesn't mean it's going to be done anytime soon. That's the unfortunate thing. Having done MTX, I know that something that looks like it's ready may not be quite as ready as expected to be. So,
I just looked at my notes. One thing I thought was interesting to share was the no touch left behind concept that MS Service does.
Yeah, so this doesn't affect us as much in the X server, other than that we have to be able to provide enough information that applications can do that. Microsoft has a concept that's called no touch left behind on the surface. I'm pretty sure it's Microsoft. It may be one of the researchers that called it, by the way. But what the surface tables do is every time you touch the screen, there is some visual feedback. Because one of the things they found out was that if you click a mouse button and the application doesn't respond, people have a tendency to think the application is broken. Whereas if you touch a touch screen and the application doesn't respond, people tend to think they didn't touch correctly or they didn't touch hard enough. So you end up with these people just banging on the table just to make sure it was hard enough. So one of the things they implemented in the Surface environment is every single time you touch the screen, and every time you interact with the screen, there's some visual feedback. Every time you touch it, there's like a ripple. They actually call it user interface ripples, like you drop a stone into water with these waves. And you immediately see what you just did. Because you see that ripple, you've become accustomed, you have just touched it. And you see where that goes, because you know this goes to wherever I touch. So there's no question of which application did that touch from go to. If you move, if you touch inside an application and you move outside of it, the application, and assume you move outside, you have a line, a moving, slightly moving line back to that application. So you still know, oh, I'm still interacting with that application, although I'm actually outside of the application. The other thing, one of the other things to have, one second, when you touch, that ripple goes inwards as well, and it concentrates on a point. So you touch once, and then you see the circle just narrowing down on the point. And they found that that gets rid of the fat finger problem, because people learn that, because they see which point it's actually centered on eventually, which point that touch that just it goes to, they learn that, oh, I missed the button, that's why I have to click again, because they see that it just hit next to the button. It's a bit hard to explain. I think if you do it for user interface ripples, it probably finds a little bit easier, or papers or photos or anything like that. But the main thing to take away from that is that, especially in, at least with touch, there's a lot of situations that we cannot solve on our level. There's a lot of situations where there's no technical solution, where it's the job of the user interface to not make these situations be a problem, or to train the user in a way that a certain situation that can be a problem just never occurred, never appears. And we are seeing some of that. Application developers, interesting enough, already do that in some way, where if you're using Web 2.0 interfaces with lots of AJAX things like that, not that guy, but you know, the technology, that must be annoying, isn't it?
Only sometimes.
Okay. When you're in Gmail or whatever Facebook or whatever, I'm not sure if Facebook counts as Web 2.0, it's more like Facebook, Web 0.0. You're not really tempted to hit the back button because the user interface molds itself around you. Because hitting the back button can screw things up quite badly because you're carrying so much slack with JavaScript and so on. So if the user interface is designed correctly, you can make certain situations that would otherwise be a problem just not be a problem because the user just isn't tempted to do it. And for a touch, much of the same is true, where we can't expect to take our own desktop, add multi-touch to it, and then we're done. Not even close. So any desktop that's supposed to be operated by touch will not be a standard desktop.
I just thought about a parallel between the no touch left behind concept and the server cursor, which is some sort of feedback, early feedback you give to the user that his or her action has really been taken into account. He moves the mouse, the cursor moves. And that's done in the server for performance reasons and other reasons. Should we think about having that sort of feedback in the server?
Yes, it will be an easy solution. Because you have the central point of authority, you have the central point that can do that. It's faster because you don't have these line tricks and so on and so forth. But when it comes to putting anything in the server, you always have to consider, is it going to be working on a KDE desktop that runs a GTK app and XTEM in the background? Mm-hmm. And so you have three different environments that all want to have their own thing.
Like for cursors?
Good. Cursors are a special case because they've been around for, what, 40 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Or an X for 20-something years. People accept that they're there, so they accept the limitation that comes with them. Introducing something new that limits people to a certain decision is going to cause a lot of bullshitting and a lot of argument.
I'm not sure
of the benefits you get from that anyway. So.
My point was about cursors was that you can change the cursor. You can ask the server to change the cursor. So it's still...
You move it to wherever you touch, or you add a new cursor concept to it,
I don't know precisely, but you could say, I want this type of feedback in this window, I want that type of feedback in that window, or I want this type of feedback for this touch. You could say things like that. Feedback wouldn't be an arrow, it would be a dynamic process, but we can manage that.
The problem is, but as you said, feedback is going to be complicated. But the cursor is probably the simplest amount of feedback. You just move it to some position randomly. If you look at the ripples and you're familiar with them, they are quite complex operations.
I know.
So, I'm not sure I need to go at that.
I think it would just end up being a lot of the same discussions we've had in judging,
yeah.
And it sounds good. To have it in the server for uniformity and just performance, but breaks down.
Yeah. I think there's no, unfortunately, we don't control the environment in the way that surface does. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, depends on how you see. But you know, surface does a couple of things that we can't do and we will be able to do a couple of things. So,
yeah. I think if we did a sober and we applied the idea of the generic selector across our system, it's up to the operation of finding there. You can translate the cursor into fancy replay or whatever they want.
The way cursors handle in the server, it's not a particularly good API. But it's really hard to get the cursor shape. For XR2, it's impossible to get the cursor shape for a specific device at the moment. So translate the cursor into... Are you talking about loading animated cursors instead of normal ones?
Yeah, so you're
looking at
saving my translated cursor into some different objects.
Yeah, like the spinning cycle or something.
Yeah,
that works for static objects. But if you, for example, want a cursor that refers back to a window, like the Ripple mentioned before, where you move out and you still have to align back to the original window to indicate that you're still interacting with this, although you're outside, the cursor shape is still part of it. Because you can load, probably load an arrow or something, but you're lacking all this in between. And in which case, because the way passive graphs and active graphs are handled, all these events still go to this client. So it'll probably be easier to just let that client deal with rendering to the current touch points. So cursors have a tendency to be static. Even if they're animated, they're still only applied to one location. And it's quite hard to adjust them.
Well, that's default. If you want to trace the moment, you can turn the cursor off because you can trace it.
But if you just have a cursor, a static cursor,
yeah,
it would have to either be so huge that it would you see it from behind your finger, in which case it was obscured things, or you have to wonder what happens when I release my finger, does that go away? If it's too small, you would never see it.
So it just gives an indication if you are touching something.
But when
did
you actually see it?
I think what Ping means is that what you can do in a similar way to these ripples is you can load an animated cursor object that is triggered on button press, and then the animation is essentially one of these ripples. So whenever you press, it just sees animation.
Do you
have
like an animation side that would work like that easily?
Well, animated cursor essentially, you trigger it somehow. It's technically possible, though I don't know what the hooks are. I never think about that. I can't even answer all that at the moment.
And if you use like a hardware cursor for that, you're limited, fairly limited in size.
Yeah, 64 is it?
Generally, yeah.
Well, and you're also limited to one, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So you down the software, but we already down the software cursors anyway, the MPX case. So, well, one hardware cursor plus in software cursors, except that no one uses it for it. We still find that.
No, I was agreeing. I was violently agreeing. I mean, the closest to the user the feedback is done, the better. And I was thinking about that sort of animated.
One thing that just keeps coming up in those discussions is that I'm not sure how much longer we can play the role of like that we just thin layer forwarding, and sooner or later we're probably going to start merging together with more interface features. Whether we want it or not, it may or may not be necessary technologically. So I think it's possible.
Well, you can remain neutral, but then you need to provide a stronger power of expression to the...
The problem with being neutral is that I have an army like Switzerland to support it. So yeah, as you can see, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of things just still coming up and unsolved. While there's a significant amount of multi-touch research out there, none of it actually answers our questions, or, to my knowledge. None of it, which is both unfortunate and hey, it means we can go a tablet on our own.
The other thing that I had just as a thought to bring up is we still don't even have a good idea of the best way to do filtering of touch it properly. So like if you have a humid day and you've got a very glossy screen, your touches are going to like kind of bounce and skid across the screen instead of being on certain hardware. And we're just still trying to grapple issues around there too. It's going to be a while before we have a full solution that works really well.
There's another thing in response to that is also that the client side is going to be much, much, much harder because you have to deal with crap like this. You have to deal with, suddenly the client has to be able to deal with different devices. So far you can pretty much say, hey, cool, there's three buttons, it moves around. I can build my one-size-fits-all user interface because I know wherever I deploy it, you always have this available. But not all touchscreens are the same. Touchscreens have different properties, you know, capabilities. And suddenly you have to build an application that on some hardware deals with pressure, on some hardware deals with width, finger width to meet the same user interface effects. So pretty much back to the olden days of X, where we had to render the UI in different colors and everything depending on what freaking monitor was connected. And a lot of the core protocol, I think, still deals with that, like monochrome displays and, you know, clients. I think really old clients still deal with that, so, right? So it's not going to be easy, but that's client side, so yeah. So, yeah. Any other comments, questions?
Is there a way we can help?
Yes.
With hardware or software that has something?
Well, generally any hardware that lands in the developer space would eventually be used. Probably not on mine. QoS Dust most likely, but sending out hardware to people is always a good idea, and testing. One of the biggest problems I had with XR2 is that I had practically zero testing from anyone on the client side. So I wrote my test applications, I wrote some demo applications, prototypes, but I didn't really get any feedback into what a really toolkit would need. And it's biting me hard now because there's a couple of features. If you guys would say, hey, we're going to switch to XR2, you'd suddenly run into a couple of walls that were put up unintentionally. More feedback at the early stage could have avoided that. So right now, like just being here is already the right thing to do.
We're going to say too, before we have to switch to say to the layout, we're running the two walls that have to say, not to do that.
And I know you guys rely on some features in XR1 that cannot be translated into XR2 100%. So proximity, as I said before, it's really hard to get proximity at the moment. Not one of my greatest ideas. Yeah. Anything else? Let's see if everyone already gets rid of the pocket. There we go. Coffee.